Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Halloween show. Where we talk about how to carve your pumpkin into a very pretty little face. We can put little eyes that look like triangles right on there, and we can put a nose that looks right on there, and then we can put a mouth that is perfect. We can carve a pumpkin, but we don't have to put triangles. We don't have to put, we can use squares. We could even use circles. I need you to call in right now and tell me which eye you prefer on your pumpkin in Halloween. Square eyes could convey like a surprised expression, yes. Triangles pretty much, I believe, belie the horrified expression or the evil eyebrows that go up into a triangle. I believe that's what that's trying to convey. And then, if the nose is not a triangle, then if it's a square nose, then obviously you're saying, Halloween, pumpkin, square eyeballs, triangular eyeballs, circular eyeballs, square noses, round noses, funky faces. These are all things that we all have to worry about right now, and that's why this show is on the air. Halloween pumpkin issues. This is very, very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a minute. That's not the right show. That's right. You stepped into another episode of
crazy, mad, insane world. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive.
It takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Syllable words like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I don't even know how to put it in the middle of that. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That took a little second. How are you doing? Welcome to the Jack Hatfield Show. We are so happy for you to be here today. Let me tell you why. Because I have had a broken arm and it's still broken. Yes, 2 weeks has went by. I understand that. 2 weeks have went by. I don't want the English police calling me. 2 weeks have went by. Broke and fell. Broke the arm. Not the hip, but tore up a lot of stuff on the left-hand side. But we're all good. We're all good, and we're back, and we're feeling absolutely fantastic. All the regular listeners of the show is going to remember when we interviewed a young lady, mother, single mother, at that. Her name was Phaedra Haynes. We interviewed we interviewed her here approximately three months ago, I think. I believe it was 2.5-3 months ago. Anyway, what she was on the show about is because she's obviously a single mom. She was striving to do all she possibly could for her daughter. Her daughter had was diagnosed with Fanconi anemia, which is normally fatal. However, there are some good things that can come about it if you could possibly get a bone marrow transplant. And we announced the birth of her blog called Aaliyah's Journey, which is the daughter's name. Fanconi anemia was named for Guido Fanconi. It's a very rare recessive genetic disorder, and it's an inherited type of anemia that leads to bone marrow failure. So it's, while it's considered a primarily a blood disease, it does affect all the systems of the body, and it's a complex and chronic and constant disorder that takes its toll on the brain, takes its toll on the psyche, takes its toll on the relationships. In fact, when we had Phaedra Haynes on, which we will have her on again soon, hopefully, maybe next week, maybe as early as next week, could be the week after, we don't know, but we're trying. She discussed how, and you can go back and listen to any of our shows, of course, but she discussed how the father of Phaedra just said, "Look, I can't handle this." And then that entered into a show about fathers that we need some real men to step up. As all of you know, I've had a premature daughter, quit everything to sit by her side. So I kind of can look a father in the eye that's hitting a tragic time and go, "Look, it's time to step it up." I get to say that. So don't think I'm just sitting here on my high horse saying that, not everybody is perfect. What I'm saying is you got to do all you can. But anyway, She has been working actively to go around and get bone marrow swabs from anyone's who would like to be a bone marrow donor. And she's been actively taking care of her daughter. Her daughter's gotten real sick several times. Been in and out of the hospital, obviously, several times. Fanconi anemia can turn into cancer. It can turn into lots of diseases that will kill you earlier than the general population, and just all sorts of things. And you can donate to Aaliyah at Children's Organs Transplant Association, and that link is on her page off of my pre-miracle organization, Early Journey Foundation. So you can go to www.earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aaliyah, A-L-Y-A-H, A-L-Y-A-H. And you can read, she's going to put some more updates on there very soon. Her last update was September, which you have to understand, she's had an awful lot of stuff happen recently. But I was able to run across her today, and that's the reason we're talking about it right now. And she came in, and it was vastly different than every other time I've ever seen her. Every other time I've ever seen her, her eyes are bloodshot. Her eyes are watery. She looks tired. She looks ragged. She came in today, into a building today, and I happened to be in the building, and I looked, and I said, "Wow, I'm so glad to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. I haven't spoke to her, actually. I think, I actually want to say that it's not 3 months ago. I want to say go back to the April archives of this show to listen to her, interview, because the site was launched in April, and we launched the site. I created the site for her and launched the site right that day. So again, you can go to earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aaliyah, and you'll see a donate, the CODA donations, Children's Organs Transplant Association donations. And what you do is you're actually given the CODA, and once they reach the limit, then they can, you know, they'll have the funds to do the bone marrow transplant. Now, that's going to stay up there despite what Phaedra told me today. Phaedra comes in, and I say, "Hello, how you doing?" And I was in the middle of something else, and it was, I stopped it, and I looked at her, and she said, October 30th. And I said, "It's very close to now. What are we doing? Where have you been?" She said, "I've been almost all over the country." And I said, "That's great, because I know you're striving hard to, you know, go to bone marrow donor events and raise the funds and et cetera and et cetera." She got a call last Wednesday, so 6 days ago, from the Children's Organs Transplant Association and the hospital in Minnesota that does a lot of Fanconi anemia items. And through all of it, through many, many, through years, her daughter is, I think, seven or eight. Through all the years, she's been searching for the blood, bone marrow. Got a call on Wednesday. They found a match. And they're going to go ahead and do the transplant on October 30th. Phaedra and her daughter will be going to Minnesota to go ahead and do the entire bone marrow transplant with the donor. Ladies and gentlemen, now, her last trip to Minnesota was September 8, 2011. Well, her last entry into the blog about going to Minnesota, the doctors told her that you would have to have your bone marrow transplant as soon as October, the latest being November, because of how many platelet transfusions Aaliyah has gone through. There was no match found at the time when she was told that your daughter doesn't have long to go. They said that they could try cord blood that had an 85% possible survival rate, but it would also be followed with 5 to 6 months of chemo. No, excuse me. She would have to be in Minnesota for 5 to 6 months, and there would be 5 straight days of chemo. That would, of course, you know, put a big, big hurt on Aaliyah. So they weren't real pleased if they couldn't find a match. And remember, when we had the conversation in April, she asked to raise $100,000 for CODA to get the transplant. But on Wednesday, I called her and found a match, and they're going to do the bone marrow transplant on October 30th without the funds yet. Now, I say yet. That doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we give up on this little girl. Doesn't mean we stop raising money. And it doesn't mean I stop talking about it. What it means is the Early Journey Foundation, CODA, Phaedra, the mom struggling through it all, and the little 7-year-old girl, Aaliyah, is about to get their biggest shot at kicking this thing. I don't know how to start a show better. So how about that, ladies and gentlemen? So for all the regular listeners, I'm so glad you gave all that you could when we asked, but I now need you to do it again. While she is getting the bone marrow transplant, that we cannot stop showing CODA that she's going to have the funds. We cannot stop showing the hospital that they're going to get paid. So do me a favor. You go to earlyjourneyfoundation.org and you can donate to the Early Journey Foundation right there on the screen if you'd like, and we'll make sure to pass it on to Aaliyah. Or you go to earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aaliyah, A-L-Y-A-H, and you'll see the CODA donation. So you can do it, or you can donate to both. You can help other premature babies and Aaliyah, or you can just simply help Aaliyah. I'd love you to do both. We help premature babies on a regular basis, so it'd be real good. And we strive ourselves on being on the front lines of prematurity with the parents, because we're helping the parents out. As soon as a premature baby is born, the parents are sitting there going, "Wow, I did not expect this," and they're looking at a long road. And we are right there next to them. All they have to do is call. We get them the exact bottles, blankets, mobiles, books, and everything that we have and that we utilized on our premature child, and give the parents this, and we give it to them for nothing. So that's what we strive to do. That's right off the bat. And then we help the parent. Of course, they can ask any questions throughout their entire ordeal. They can always talk to me. They can get everything they want at premiracles.com and ask any questions. There's just a myriad of things that we do, and we're so proud to pass on such incredible good news like this, because I know the regular listeners are always asking me, you know, how's everything going, all that stuff. So good news for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy right now that is happening. That is fabulous. Is that not awesome? Awesome. Totally awesome. So, with that positive, awesome news right off the bat, let's do some more show, shall we? We have talked and talked and talked and interviewed people, and we have, at the top of the hour, we have Adele Omani, the life changer across the pond. She has her magnificent minutes coming up at the top of the hour, so be sure to follow her on Twitter. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JackHatfield. Very important for you to understand that we are going to have fun and enter a contest coming up. This contest is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And a radio station I listen to often called WBT, News Talk 1110 WBT. And we're going to be entering that contest. And what it entails is you simply put up a 90-second video, or a 90-second to 2-minute video to start off, and then people get to vote on that video and that person and that talker. So I would definitely love each and every one of you. The deadline for the submission is November 2nd. Our video should go up this weekend. Now, while I find it strange that a video goes up for a radio personality, we're going to go ahead and follow all the rules, and we're going to do what we need to do, and we're going to take this and win it. We would like the show to be on terrestrial radio, which could then be recorded and replayed on this station, the Blog Talk Radio /Jack Hatfield, and or we may have two shows. I may continue this show as a unique perspective on what we talk about on the terrestrial radio, but I'd really like to get my hands on the terrestrial radio studio buttons so that I may press and go and have a better studio than the internet studio here. So I'm looking really, really looking forward to that. So all I'm asking you to do is simply go to www.wbt.com. You'll see WBT's next talker contest, and you'll see view all entries. There'll be me and several hundred others, maybe. I don't know. Watch me. You get to see my ugly mug in a 90-second, 2-minute video, and then you simply click on the, ooh, goodness, I love this person. I don't know if the button will actually say that, but it could. It could be similar to that. So I need you, just click on it, all right? Click on it. It'll be fantastic. Now, regular listeners, since we just talked about Aaliyah and good news, and we talked about donations from people that are listening to give to a young lady and her daughter that are struggling against a life-threatening disease. Okay? Now, would it be the same if I got on here and go, you know what we need to do? Y'all need to give me money so that we can give diapers to people. Now, if you find a family that you think needs help in buying diapers, buy them some diapers. I am not at all going to be pushed into the corner saying I'm against giving low-income families or anyone who needs diapers, diapers. Not going to have it. But I am going to say that when a governor declares a day, diaper need awareness day, I'm being just a little overwhelmed at how much awareness days we can have. There is no Fanconi Anemia Awareness Day. You get my drift? There is a Prematurity Awareness Day. The reason that is because, one, there's one premature baby born every 61 seconds. But Jack, there's a baby born every, 2 seconds? And they need diapers. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But I recall, not some 30, 40 years ago, diapers was a piece of cloth with safety pins on the corner that the child utilized, then it was washed and reused again. The governor is declaring the Diaper Need Awareness Day to pressure the national government in Washington into providing free disposable diapers to low-income families. In saying that this was Diaper Awareness Day, the governor also said that it would boost the economy. I am absolutely stunned how anything free boosts the economy. Here's the statement. No family should have to choose between buying diapers for their child or buying groceries, but that is exactly what is happening today. Diapers are expensive, but necessary to keep children healthy and in daycare, giving their parents the freedom they need to work. According to a study, 1 in 3 families struggle to provide diapers, and 1 in 20 mothers have reused wet or soiled disposable diapers. That study was sponsored by Huggies. Huggies also on Monday cut its sales outlook, citing a low birth rate due to the economic downturn. Now, if a mom is staying at home, okay, since his argument is diapers are necessary for the child to go to daycare, is that true? Do you have to provide your own diapers in daycare? I don't know this answer. I do not know. I mean, if you put a kid in daycare, you're paying daycare for something. I wonder if diapers are included. But if you have to bring your own diaper pile for daycare, you are already can afford daycare. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I have to plead ignorance here. So if the stay-at-home mom, if the mom says, look, I'm going to stay at home, or dad says, I'm going to stay at home, mom, you go out and work, either way, do you realize you're asking money from the parent that's working in taxes to go spin around and purchase the diapers for the family? You see what I'm saying? Let's say we took 2 cents out of every dollar earned so that low-income families could have diapers. So the husband or mom that's going to work pays the tax on the diapers that are coming back to the... When they could simply just go buy the diapers... Oh, because it's spread out. Whereas, you know, a penny out of every dollar, you know, adds up to like a dollar for that person, you know, if there's $100,000, $1,000, but diapers cost more than a dollar. So someone else is helping that father pay for diapers. What happens if it's a single dude or a single girl? What if you cut taxes so that they could go buy diapers? I don't know. While diapers are expensive, we use both kinds. We use kind of disposable and we use kind of throwaway. Disposable and non-disposable. But I never looked at them as, you know what, I'm not going to be able to eat this evening. Even though we had the toughest time in the world. I quit everything to sit by my daughter's side and never once fretted because Taco Bell sells bean burritos for a dollar. I'm pretty sure I can get 5 diapers for $1.50. That's a day, at least, I would think. I don't know. I remember us throwing away a lot of diapers. Maybe 5 is not enough for a day. Maybe it was 10 or 15. I do remember. But I do also remember that our first set of diapers was very tiny. Very tiny. They were called the Wee Peas. They were called the Wee Peas. Not to be confused with the Pee Wees. People, I know how you are. All right, so people who continued listening to this after going to WBT and hitting "I so love this man's" button are now going, is there any way I can take that away because he's upset about diapers? It's not that I'm upset about diapers, but if you give diapers what? Why wouldn't you give food and say, go wash the diapers? Or why wouldn't you give water and say, go wash the diapers? Why wouldn't you give detergent and washing machines and water and say, go wash diapers? When does it end is the point I'm trying to make. I am not against giving someone stuff when they need it. Do you understand that there's already a government entity that gives people free diapers and formula? Does anyone look this up? That's right. That's right. There's an early Head Start program, which is a federally funded program that helps children in low-income families free diapers and formula. Huggies and Pampers, both companies, allow consumers to accumulate points for coupons for free diapers. Parents can also register with diaper companies on their websites to receive free diapers, get free ones from a local hospital, rely on free sample packages of diapers that are given away on a regular basis. There's plenty of ways to get diapers. It may take a little work, but you can get free diapers. I don't accept the arguments that are heartless. And you can't say it. Are you grasping my point? My audience knows this. New listeners, however, you can't bring this argument to me. It's invalid. Doesn't work. It can't be an argument. But I also would like to question, how much is enough? Most Americans are not aware, okay? Most Americans are not aware that $700 billion a year are already handed out to non-tax-paying low-income families that are below the poverty line. That is not in addition. I mean, that is in addition, but it's not counting the $250 billion a year given out by the state. Do you see my point here? That's almost $1 trillion simply handed out by government. So that is taxpayer money, you, each and every one of you, your taxes go into a big pile, and the government then puts that pile back out there. But Jack, it's helping low-income families. Yes, I'm not saying stop this. I'm not saying decrease it, increase it, nothing. I'm just saying we have to start looking at it right now. $1 trillion. That has been increased recently by almost 33%, ladies and gentlemen. And that's just in the last 3 years. Let me throw something else at you. Is bigger than diapers. The federal giveaway apparatus. Okay? The $1 trillion a year of our money being handed out to people. This apparatus consists of 69 means-tested programs. Okay, so there's 69 means-tested programs, meaning if you're below the poverty line, we'll give you money. 12 programs providing food. That means 12 different government entities that provide food. 69 different government entities that provide a program that you can get tested for and get into and receive money. 10 federal government programs, separate programs, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying the same thing. I'm not saying like the Department of Housing Assistance. No, I'm saying there's 10 of them named something different that provides housing assistance. There's 10 more for social services. There's 9 for educational assistance. It's not just a federal student loan program. There's 8 more to get money for education. There's 8 more programs simply giving cash. There's 8 government-funded programs for vocational training, 7 for medical assistance, 3 for energy and utility assistance, and 2 for child care and development, where you can get diapers and formula. Did you add those up while I was talking in your head? Anyone? Anyone? Let's do it together. 69 plus 12. 81. Plus 10. 91. Plus 10. 101. Plus 9. 110. Plus 8. 118. Plus 8. 126. Plus 7. 135. Plus 3. 138. Plus 2. 140. Federally funded government entities giving out $1 trillion. Is that all these 140 government entities suck out of the taxpayer system? No, because these people that do push the paperwork have to be paid and insured and given benefits. 140 federal government programs giving away stuff. Do we need to tack on diapers? Jack, you're so mean. You're so mean. For those of you listening to that, has that blown your mind? Is that the first time you've ever heard it put out in such a logical manner? When you think about it, you go, yeah, I go to the highway department. I go to the state house and paid this, and I go to another place and pay this, and that's all I basically touch. Did you know that there's 140 of them? This does not count state government organizations, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to grasp that fact. Think about your state Department of Health, your state Department of Motor Vehicles, your state Department of Welfare, your state Department of Vocational Training, your state Educational Assistance, your state Housing Assistance, your state Social Service, your state Welfare Program, your state Childhood Care Program, your state Energy and Utility Assistance Program. There's 100 and something state entities per state. Government is huge. Freaking mongus. That reminds me of the whenever you cook mushrooms, you're supposed to say there's a fungus among us. Back to our problem. Excuse me. Cough button failed to work. I don't have a cough button on my studio. I have a cough button on me where I push on my button, and it didn't work. Anyway, Anyway, that didn't work, so we'll try the other button in a minute if I have to cough again. 140 federal government programs giving away stuff! Free stuff! This is the fastest growing component of government spending. And let me throw the proverbial monkey wrench into your mindset right now. Where I just blew your mind when I started about diapers, and you're going, why can't we just all give away diapers? Why you gotta be so mean? Well, here's why. There's 140 federal programs that give away stuff already. Doesn't count the state programs that give away stuff already. And let me throw something else to you. Those numbers did not include Social Security or Medicare. What? That's right. I didn't even count those two programs that give away stuff. You understand that the whole of what I just told you being handed out is greater than what we are paying for our entire public school system. It is greater than what we spend on the defense of our country. But Jack, we need diapers. I normally don't start with the political segment, but I had no choice when the diaper article came in front of my eyeball today. And a governor is requested, started a day, Diaper Needs Awareness Day. By the way, this is the governor of Connecticut, just in case you were wondering. So tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, it's Diaper Needs Awareness Day. You're going to hear all about it. And you're going to say to yourself, why can't we just give some people some diapers? Kids need diapers. Kids are wonderful. I agree. Kids are fantastic. Parents need to be fantastic too. What? He did not just say that. Greater than we spend on the entire public school system and greater than what we spend on national defense and 140 government handouts, federal government handouts, not including the state government handouts, and neither one of that includes Social Security or Medicare. I do not know how much scarier on Halloween Eve I can be. Was that enough Eves? Nope, I need one more. Eve, I can be. Now, there is a group in St. Louis called the Center for Marriage Policy that are working on something in Missouri to deal with exactly what I'm talking about. And what they said is marriage absence is causing a lot of these problems. Is that, I want to ask you people, is that code for sucky parents? Jack, you have got to stop being logical. Marriage absence is driving this giveaway handout mentality. America's greatest problems, out of control spending, foreclosures, poverty, children who fail in school, lack of health care coverage and personal bankruptcy. Marriage absence is what they're saying is causing this. I say to them, I have already attempted to figure that one out with Fix the Family, Fix America. This radio show used to be called Fix the Family, Fix America. And I still believe that. And apparently, this organization didn't know about my organization, or else they simply could have piggybacked what I've been saying for 2 years. And my slogan's a lot funner to say. Fix the Family, Fix America, instead of marriage absence is driving problems. That's not even fun to say. Marriage absence. Here's your problem, Center for Marriage Policy in Massachusetts. It's not going to be there. Here's your problem, Center for Marriage Policy. To fix the family, you've got to fix the singular father and the singular mother. Thus the reason we swapped the names of this show from Fix the Family, Fix America to me, Jack Hatfield Show. We're delving into my problems. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we do delve into my problems, but we're delving into the problems of fathers and mothers because, my goodness, we couldn't find a way to get to the family unit yet. When a mom turns around in the seat and blows her children away with a shotgun at point-blank range in a car, I don't think I can fix the family yet. Just yesterday, here's a little fun fact. Just yesterday, a guy. That's the cleanest we could do. Some guy was caught on secret camera. That's right, little secret camera. His wifey put, or was it his wifey or his girlfriend or his woman, his chickify. I don't know what baby mama? Was that? Can we do that? Anyway, she thought he was cheating. She thought he was cheating, so she set up a camera, little camera, to catch him. I do some spying on him and catch him cheating. Well, when she went and viewed the tape and heard all these horrible noises of grunting and bunch of flailing around, the audio was similar, but the video was vastly different, because what he did was he took a towel and wrapped it around the child's his child's neck and started swinging it around the living room, trying to kill it while she wasn't home. But Center for Marriage Policy, marriage absence is causing this problem, obviously. Let's delve into what the heck am I drinking segment. Because it's impossible to talk about some of this stuff without a quality beverage. Now, do not get me wrong. When I get on terrestrial radio, we will be unable to... I don't know this answer, actually, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing that we will have to end the what am I drinking segment at this moment into what am I going to have later segment. So that'll be fine. It'll be the same thing, just be later. Because I like it a lot. Anyway, the what am I drinking segment right now is a fabulous Pinot Noir. because it sounded Halloween-y on Halloween Eve. And speaking of E, and anything that sounds like E, it's time for Adele Omane Magnificent Minute. I really need an echo button. God, I need terrestrial radio studio buttons. Let me press my cough button. Feels good, but hey, I didn't cough. Adele's going to go, what is he doing? What is he doing? Adele is our touch of class during the Jack Hatfield show. Here's Adele Omane's Magnificent Minute of the Week. We got a question from a guy that simply said William, I believe. I can't remember what it was. It was a question saying, how do I get a... I don't remember what it was. That's horrendous. She'll tell you what the question is, and she's going to tell you the answer, William. So listen up. And anyone who has the same question, here's your answer. Adele Omane, Q&A Magnificent Minute.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. In these minutes, I'd like to share with you answers to questions being asked in energy, and also to give you some tips and advice around how to apply those answers in your day-to-day life to start creating your abundance and become a conscious creator. I've had a question from William, and the question is, what can I do to get a job when everywhere I apply tells me they are not looking? Very good question, William. Okay, now let me explain this. The reason why you are finding that everywhere is saying to you there are no jobs available is because your belief is around there being no jobs available. And this can be a bit of a vicious circle, because what will have happened is you will be seeing evidence that there are no jobs. You will be hearing on media the conditioning that's put out saying, oh, we're in a terrible time, there's no jobs available, you know, there's a recession, or there's trouble with money, which is rubbish. But because this is the news, people tend to take this as being the truth, and they then start to believe that there is no opportunities, there are no jobs around. What happens is, by believing it, you are then putting this into your frequency. This becomes the frequency that you resonate out. And when you resonate this out, energy will naturally attract back to you the same frequency that you resonate out. So it is bringing back to you energy in experiences and opportunities which are showing you there are no jobs around. So the way to get around this is you have to change your belief. And in doing this, this is what I call kind of stepping out of the matrix, taking the red pill. It's stopping the conditioning, stopping listening to what people are telling you, because it has to come from you. It has to come from inside you. And when you step away from the conditioning, you step away from listening to media, stop watching television, stop listening to the radio, stop reading newspapers, and focus totally on your success, totally on your desires, on the fact that you are already in your new job. You are already in your new job, and you are on a much higher salary, because your focus is on attracting a higher income. So by understanding this, and by making what I have developed, gratitude statements, which are saying, I am so grateful, I am now in my exciting job, I am so grateful that I am now earning 10 times more than I was before. When you put this into the present and you are being grateful for your desires as if they're already here, this becomes a belief, and you're then resonating this out as your frequency. This is the frequency that energy is going to pick up. And energy will bring you experiences and opportunities to match this frequency. So it has to bring you experiences and opportunities that are giving you or bringing to you job opportunities and job opportunities with more money. But it's got to, it's no good thinking, oh, I'd love to have a great job and I'd love to have more money. Because until this becomes the belief, it will not be resonated out. What you resonate out will still come from your lack of self-belief or your lack of self-worth in, well, I'd love to have a job, but it's not going to happen. I'd love to have a job, but they keep telling me there's none out there. So this has to become a very, very firm belief in you. And the easiest way to do this is, as I said, to step away from the conditionings, is to stop listening to this rubbish that's been put out there, because it's not true. We have the ability to create our reality. We have the ability to transmute, which is change energy, and make it bring us every desire we wish for. So, you know, my advice is to start giving yourself a little bit of time, William. Step back, stay away from the conditioning, and start to really focus on your desires, on where you want to be, on the job that you love, not the specifics, just how you'd feel in it, and focus on this. And you will start to see different experiences and opportunities coming into your life.
You see what I mean? Touch of class. Adele Omani. Follow her on Twitter at Twitter.com/Adele Omani, or you can go to AdeleOmani.com, of course. That's EdeleOmahony. Adele Omani, the fabulous, fabulous, fabulous Adele. Thank you so much for that one, Adele. You answered his question, and anyone who had a similar question, aren't you excited, people? Now, we always have some kind of segment. Crazy!
I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife.
Let me tell you. In Everett, Washington, ladies and gentlemen, police have arrested a lady. Okay. Well, actually, they arrived at a home to arrest a lady, and they heard a man screaming, "You try to cut my head off, you're going to jail." That's right. The 43-year-old woman. Judge set her bail at $250,000. I don't know her name because they did not identify her yet. But anyway, the husband was sleeping in the bed where she went to his tool area in his garage. You would think you'd grab a machete, big knife, hammer, axe, something you can bludgeon or cut or be quick with or silent even, you know? You would think that. No, this one went big time. She snuck in, got the tool, snuck in the bedroom in the dark, in the silence. This is perfect for Halloween. Anyway, in the dark, in the silence, she goes and stands next to the bed, looking down at her husband, in which she was just done with. And she lifts up the tool, presses the trigger, and realizes, oh my goodness, I have to plug it in. So she fumbles through the dark and the silence to find the power plug and plugs the tool in and then goes to power saw the man to death. And got to where she actually cut him on the neck and shoulder with the power saw. She at first said she didn't do it, but the problem was the officers didn't believe her. She said she grabbed the saw, plugged it in because she saw an intruder come in the house and leave out of her daughter's window, and that it slipped. Here's the problem. There's a child lock on the window that prevents it from opening, and it was still secure. And the man was awakened with a power saw humming into his ear while it cut amongst its neck and shoulder. That is a woman with a plan. Now, grasp this, ladies and gentlemen. She's charged with domestic violence, not attempted murder at this time. Again, no axe, no bludgeoning tool, something she has to plug in. That is what I call hilarious. Yes, very hilarious. Oh, my. Okay. Here's another case of a person going a little insane. There was a door-to-door flasher. That's right. In northwestern Pennsylvania. A man thought he would get his kicks on Halloween Eve. Wait, this was yesterday, so it's another Eve. He would get his kicks by going door to door, knocking on the door, and then flashing them going, ha ha ha, you've seen me naked. I can't get into the flasher mentality at all. I cannot figure out the psyche there. Where's the absolute, how is it a problem on the person that you're sitting here going, hello, you've seen me naked. Don't you feel weird? Just, I can't get into that. Where's I don't know. Well, anyway, he was knocking on neighbor's door. And went, hello, and he flashed the chief police. And so the chief wrestled him to the ground and arrested him. And then he said, chief, I was only here to scare the children. Well, yeah. A naked drunk freak running through the house is pretty much going to scare the children. The man's 22. His name is Brody Hall, just in case you were wondering. But his flashing ended right there at the chief's house. And in one more tiny little fact I need everyone to press upon, is that if he did say, I was there to scare the children, and by scare the children meant he was going to expose himself to children, he should be arrested as a sex offender. That will make him think twice about his own stupid life from now on. Would it not? Now, we have talked in length. Wait. Before we even get into this, let's just calm down. Everyone relax. Take a breath in. Breath in. Please speak. We speak at length on this show of how a game, not that low, the game of Monopoly is the end of everything. We speak at length on this show that during a football game, no matter what the score is, what the last second go, they make it. We speak at length that no matter how many times a child makes a goal in soccer, everyone gets a trophy. And now, even politicians who lose and get voted out should be able to come right back in and do whatever they were going to do. And no matter how I say it softly, and no matter how awesome this piano solo is, I can't get over how stupid this person is. Steve Dryhouse was voted out of office after only one term. Voted out by his peers, his humans around him that said, "You suck. I don't want you to be an elected representative any longer," is now suing his opponents and suing a group that supported the pro-life candidate for loss of livelihood. No matter how much I talk low with a piano on this, and I hope everyone that is new to the show right now knew that everything I said during the piano was absolutely not good. If you get voted out by your peers, and you think that's not right, and you're going to sue, what, for loss of livelihood? Well, you need to do something else. That's what you need to do. You have lost. You were in a game, and you lost. You were voted out, and it's over. If there is a court in this America that takes this case, and let me go one step further, if there's a court in this case and somehow, some way, this man wins, all your Democratic options will be over with. There will be absolutely no way to remove someone from office that thinks they should not have lost. He's suing for loss of livelihood. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I got a plan. We've had a lot of people lose their jobs in the last 2 years, right? That's a loss of livelihood, is it not? Why don't we join with Mr. Dryhouse? That is so funny. I could change that name to be something very hilarious. I think it's Dryhouse. It might be Dryhouse. I think it's Dryhouse. Well, let's call him Dryhouse, because that's just the nicest way I can say his name. Mr. Dryhouse, why don't we join Mr. Dryhouse in a 9.1% of the population class action suit of loss of livelihood against everyone? And then we'll all get paid, babies. We'll all get paid. There, it has to be a little bit more upbeat. I was screaming, "Hey!" Let's go back to this. We didn't even do this. Thank you. I'm not going to play the whole thing because I'm late. Can't get into the health segment yet. Jack, you are so out of context right now, or out of order, out of organization. How do you expect to be on terrestrial radio? Just in case you have joined us late. And if you're listening to us recorded and you joined us here, move the little slider back to the beginning, because you shouldn't started here, people. But if you're just joining us live, I can't wait to say that on terrestrial radio. Hey, if you just joined us, if you just got in your car, if you just turned on the radio at home, if you just turned on your radio, if you just sat down for a bubble bath in mayonnaise and jalapeno peppers, let me tell you what you missed. You missed the fact that I am going to be shooting for terrestrial radio in Charlotte, North Carolina on News Talk 1110 WBT. All you have to do to help me out, ladies and gentlemen, is simply go to www.wbt.com/nexttalker. Look through all the myriad of hundreds of millions of submissions of people that would like to be the next talker, find my ugly mug, and click I love this guy button. It may not specifically say I love this guy on the button, but you get my point. And then follow me on Twitter. Tweeting. All right. I was going to do the health segment, but I can't. I don't want to lose this because it is Halloween. Halloween Eve. There's a group of college students in Ohio saying we're going to join STARS. STARS stands for Students Teaching Against Racism in Society. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds great, doesn't it? But their problem is they're going after Halloween costumes and saying it's not okay to wear a racist Halloween costume. Now, questions are, ladies and gentlemen, what constitutes a racist costume? Can anyone tell me these answers, questions? They created posters. They actually have a lady, Oriental lady on the poster holding up a geisha lady costume and saying, this is not okay. One other lady has an African-American lady holding up a picture of what looks to be an African-American lady with a vampire biting her neck. And it says that's not okay. It has what I am going to guess is a gentleman of a Mexican American and he is holding up a picture of a guy riding a donkey wearing a sombrero costume and said, this is not okay. Where there should be a photo of anyone dead and ghosts. That's not okay. I'm not making fun of this. Really, what you need to grasp is that parents should teach their children, okay, that there shouldn't be racism. And if the mindset that every single person can be as successful as they possibly can be, and that I want you to be, I want every one of you. I look across these posters, and I'm having to guess at what they are, not because I don't know, it's because I never cared to know. And I'm not being crass here. I'm not saying I don't want to know about your culture and I don't want to know where you're from. What I'm saying is you don't look different to me because I see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears. But I still see a person on the outside, a heart and soul on the inside, and that's all that matters to me. It doesn't matter if your ears are too big, your eyes are too far apart, your nose is big, you have brown skin, dark skin, blue skin, white skin. I look at every single person out there and say, I want you to be the absolute best you can be. If you think that every person is a benefit to America, it's very hard to be racist. If you think that every child born, not aborted, born, is another chance for another Steve Jobs, another Bill Gates, another Superman, another anybody, just think of anybody you love, another chance for America to have someone fabulous. That's important. That's what I take away when I look at people saying, don't be racist. You know, you can make fun of me. I don't mind any of you making fun of me. I, like I say often, I have a face for radio. I talk horrendous. I have a horrible voice. But I want every person I know and meet to succeed. And if you just now tuned into the show and it's recorded, slide the slider back and listen to the fabulous story of Phaedra and Aaliyah and how I've been walking beside this single mother and her child with a disease that I didn't know at the time even existed, but now has a chance of being sent away, and this child has having a chance of being a normal life. I've never even mentioned what their race is when I tell you today. I did mention their race last time. And the reason I mentioned their race last time, they're African American, by the way, is because they needed a bone marrow match. and less than 2.3% of all bone marrow donors were African American, and I needed some to start stepping up to help Aaliyah and Phaedra. Other than that, when she came to me and said, I have a premature child that needs some help, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. And this is not the last you're going to hear of Phaedra and Aaliyah. I'm going to be talking about them as we go along. The struggle's not going to be over just because we have the operation and hopefully Fanconia is gone. We got to still raise $100,000 to pay for it. And you can do that by going to earlyjourneyfoundation.org. But my point is, there shouldn't have to be a posters of what's racism. Okay? They're simply saying it's about respect, human dignity, and acceptance of other cultures. They're simply asking people that before you choose your Halloween costume. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, Halloween and all of its costume was about really spooky stuff. Witches, goblins, Frankenstein, Dracula, ghosts, zombies, or your favorite superhero, Superman, Batman. We don't need racism. What we need, we don't need a poster campaign against racism. We don't need a poster campaign against holiday costumes. We do need two things. We need to have more fun. And I understand how no one's having fun right now because of this economy and jobs and et cetera. And Halloween is a fun holiday. A chance for you to just put on something else and be something else, even if you're dead, even if it's a zombie. I personally enjoy living, bleeding things. I like, you know, to put a fake screw in my head or something and have the blood dripping down. I never liked to wear the plastic mask. Oh, man, those were the worst. I couldn't breathe. Got that little hole. I would always be, the breath from my running or whatever would always just blow in the mask, and it would just be moist. Mold and slime would start growing in there, and yeast, bread. I could bake bread inside my mask. Oh, it's horrendous. I wore that mask one time for Halloween. That was it. I got home, took the mask off, and had yeast growing. And that's when I said, you know, I shouldn't do this anymore. I should wear a higher quality costume. So that's when I simply found the makeup option to be the best way, or cloth mask of some sort. I don't know. I just couldn't do the plastic. The plastic. They still sell plastic masks. Can you believe this? I saw one in a grocery store today. Still sell plastic masks. All right, here's something else scary on Halloween Eve. We have another study about what's gross. Pretty much every month, do we not hear some, you're driving in your car and you're listening to me on News Talk 1110. That's right. You can still vote for me at wbt.com/next talker. Click on the I can't live without this man button. And then we'll win and we'll be on the radio. Every month or so, there'll be some news flash. They'll be like, today's news, thanks for talking, Libya Gaddafi was killed, and ATM buttons are disgusting. What? What'd you say? And the person listening to that goes, did he just say that I just pressed a button that was disgusting? So, here they are. A new survey of the top filthiest surfaces in America. That's right. The filthiest surfaces in America were named Tuesday. Today. Ladies and gentlemen, today, announced today, the grossest, most disgusting places you touch. And since it's a public thing, and everyone touched them, this song's getting weird. It's kind of gross. So, here we go. Guess what's number one gross? What do we all do every day, at least once a week, to get to where we need to get to? We go put gas in our car. Gas pump handles top the worst bacteria and virus and illness location on America. How come 7-8 years ago, when I realized that was gross, after I pulled in and I had to wait on a pump and I saw what a man did as he sneezed into his hands, grabbed the pump, put it right back up, and then wiped him on his pants, I said to myself, well, that was kind of disgusting. And I still need gas. If you do not go sanitize after pumping your gas, wow, this should help you. This should help you. The number one most disgusting place in America is the gas pump handle. Number one. Guess what's second? And this is stunning. I didn't know people still use these things. Public mailboxes. Now, it doesn't mean just the blue box on the corner. It also means in your apartment or in your office complex. Because guess why they're gross? They're visited by everybody. Just like the gas pump handle's visited by everybody. Look around you. There's at least 10 people you don't want to talk to. Now, if you're at home and you have 11 people in your family, I feel sorry for you. If you're in your office and you look around and there's 20 people around you and 10 of them you don't want to talk to, that's absolutely normal. But, I mean, look at a gas station when you're pumping gas. Look around. It's kind of disgusting. Number three, the mall escalator rail. I don't touch those things. I just don't. I make it an absolute. I don't touch stair rails either. Stair rails coming out of a large sporting event scare me to death. And number four, your ATM button. You thought you were simply pressing with your little pinky finger, but then you wipe your eye with your pinky finger, and guess where? Happiness comes from the pinky finger. I don't know if that's scientifically proven, but you get my point. What it comes down to is that no one's really cleaning these things. Gas attendants don't go wipe pump handles. Post office mailmen, mail women don't go wipe public mailboxes. The mall cleaners don't go wiping the escalator railings. The bank tellers don't go wiping ATM buttons. The cops don't go wipe the parking meters and kiosks. That's number five. And nobody cleans vending machines or crosswalk buttons. That's number six. Now, I am in IT. I work in the IT world. I touch people's mice and keyboards constantly. Guess what's number 7? Germs can live on a keyboard for up to 48 hours without a living host. And the same on a gas pump handle. Or an ATM button. But germs fall even more on computer equipment because people talk like I'm doing now. And spittle flies out of your mouth like I'm doing now. Well, mine's more drool, but that's completely different. But you get my point. Now, I've got to talk about this. I can't let this pass. But I've also got to play some music because I've went so long without it. Yes, yes. I know so many people are going, Jack, you know, you used to put commercials here. Yeah, I did. And I'm sure I will. Going out and making sure that I am talking about the right product. I'm not going to advertise products that I don't test and give a valid comment on. As a motivational speaker, I don't go out and tell you you need to do something without giving you a solution how to do it. So I'm not going to advertise things that I don't believe in. It's just the way it's going to be. And if that lost me a vote on the I can't live without this man in my life button, then so be it. But it shouldn't. You should still hit the I can't live without this man in my life button. No one spoke about this at all on TV or radio in the last week. 1 week ago, a 2-year-old was knocked down into a road and was hit by a car. Okay. Another vehicle came by and hit the 2-year-old again. The truck stopped after hitting the 2-year-old. And then I know what you're thinking. I should simply say the driver got out, saved the 2-year-old, and everything's beautiful. No, the truck actually stopped, backed up, ran over the child again, and then went forward again. All of this was happening while over 18 people simply walked by the injured child laying in the street. The truck came to rest on top of the child as he backed up, ran over the child again. It got wrapped up in the wheel of the truck. And again, over 18 people were seen on camera walking by the body. The truck driver, since I wasn't able to have a show last week, I wasn't able to tell you about this, but now we have a little bit more. The truck driver said that he ran over the child again to be sure he died because it was cheaper than paying the hospital bills. The driver of the truck argued with the boy's family for 7 hours about the damages that he should have to pay. Then, just yesterday, all of that has been revoked. And the driver said he didn't back up. And the police suddenly said that the boy died on impact instead of in the hospital later. I left that out. The boy was taken to the hospital and was in critical condition. And I also can hear you questioning what I said by argued for 7 hours over damages. This happened in China. Handing over compensation if an accident victim dies is seen by the Chinese as cheaper than paying for lengthy hospital treatment. And there is no free health care in the communist regime of China. The body wasn't removed instantly from under the truck because other villagers were running up with the mother demanding instant compensation from the driver, in which he then argued for 7 hours. Do you grasp the fact that other people were standing next to the mom who's looking at her dead child going, you need to pay her now? And that because of this healthcare issue, 18 people ignored the child as they walked by. You make your own decisions on what I just said. Uncover the deception in nutritional world, right? Our disease and the diet seminars that we have across the country that we will start up again very, very, very soon. We had an 8-segmented disease in the diet where we were pointing out all kinds of stuff. And then on this radio station in our disease in the diet segment, we talked about how the corn industry, since high fructose corn syrup has been blamed for all of our problems, and what if, let me ask you this question, what if it's not fact? Could the American Heart Association sit there and tell the American people, we have just been lying and told you, not lying, let's say that we found out that high fructose corn syrup has been causing all of these issues and been causing fatty liver and been causing insulin resistance and been causing diabetes and all of that leads to plaque and artery buildup and the fake oils do this. Is it possible for the American Heart Association, for after telling you the exact opposite for the last 40 years or however long they were, to come up to you and go, you know what? We were wrong. Is that possible? Could they actually come out and say, we apologize for the last 40 years of advice we've been giving you? We apologize that we got a lot of stuff wrong and your loved ones followed what we were saying and died anyway? Died faster? Can't be done. They can't do it. They shan't do it. But anyway, we talk about the corn industry and high fructose corn syrup and how it is being found as being one of the reasons to have non-alcoholic fatty liver. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, your diet may not have changed, but in the last 25 years, your food changed. All right, so anyway, we talked about how the Corn Refiners Association is changing high fructose corn syrup name. We're not going to stop using it. We're not going to stop putting it in everything. We're going to simply call it something else. Corn sugar. And we talked about how there was an intensive campaign. You might even have seen the ads on TV and or heard the ads on radio. Corn sugar, cane sugar. There ain't no difference. Now, I can say it in that loving way because I actually talk that way. But I can't make up the fact that they were seriously going to simply say, you know what, there's a war against high fructose corn syrup, so we're going to change the name. We're not going to stop. We're going to change the name. So it'll be corn sugar, cane sugar. Well, guess what? The sugar industry said, I don't think so. Yep, the sugar industry filed a lawsuit. And said, I don't think you should be able to use the term corn sugar. And here's the reason, ladies and gentlemen. Wait, before I go into the reason. The Corn Refiners Association has come back and said the sugar industry is attempting to shut down free speech. That's right. The ability for you to just change the name of a product. So let's say arsenic. Arsenic's bad, right? Well, the makers of arsenic simply say, you know what? We're going to call it Happy Fun Time Love. That'll be fine. Happy Fun Time Love, formerly known as arsenic. No big deal. How about... what else? Recently the cholesterol drug. What was that? The one that kills you with a heart attack. I mean the diabetes drug that kills you with a heart attack. I can't remember. Anyway, they could simply have said, you know what? our drug kills you with a heart attack. We'll call it, but you don't die of diabetes, so we'll call it Hardio. Hardio, the new diabetes drug. I don't know. Happy Fun Time Love and Arsenic was a lot more fun. But anyway, my point is, this is not shutting down free speech. What is wrong with these people? Here's the reason, ladies and gentlemen. You and I can put a bushel of corn in the middle of our kitchen. You and I can sit there and stare at that bushel of corn and in no way, shape, or form create corn sugar or high fructose corn syrup in our kitchen. No way, no how, no shape, no form. Can't do it. We don't have the chemicals. We don't have the mechanical processes. We don't have the absolute myriad of things that go into extracting a molecule of carbohydrate from a vegetable known as corn. We just can't. But if we add a bushel of cane, we'd simply open it up, take the sap out of the inside, or squish it and get the sap out of it, onto a table, and use a paddle to push it back and forth until it dries into granules, and then put it in our coffee. That's the freaking... Wait a minute, I'm supposed to put it in a big long word. That's the abso-freaking-lutely difference. That doesn't make any sense, but it allowed me to put freaking in there somewhere. Are you understanding what they're saying? They're not saying, you know, our product's not bad or anything like that. They're simply saying if you're trying to stifle our free speech. That's insane. Insane. Also, the letters from the Corn Refiners Association said they did not believe anyone could be confused by the term or believe that anyone would believe that it referred to anything other than high fructose corn syrup. In other words, when you heard the term corn sugar, in your mind you should immediately know that it refers to high fructose corn syrup. They said that there's no way that anyone should be confused by the term corn sugar. Then tell me, Corn Refiners Association, why do you put corn sugar and cane sugar so close together in your own marketing? And then say, ain't no difference. Crazy. You know, we've had some great news about a child today, and again, before we end the show, I want you to grasp the fact of how awesome that is. Go to earlyjourneyfoundation.org. Donate a dollar, a penny, a nickel. Go to earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aaliyah, A-L-Y-A-H. Go to the CODA donation. Donate a dollar, $5, $10. This wonderful young little lady and her mother have been on a journey for 7 years with a disease that could have ended her life already. And then she was told in September that we don't have much time. It's going to have to happen in October and November, or else we're going to have to try another route that doesn't have that high of a success rate. Well, when all the hopes and prayers of all the people that have heard our calls and wishes got together and formed a funnel of love, a donor has been found, and she will have the operation on October 30th. And that's amazing stuff. Then I also spoke a little bit about diapers. Also spoke about 140 federal programs that give stuff away. And now in the health segment, I want to talk about kids, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you know a parent that comes to you with their child and goes, oh, he's allergic to this, or he's got asthma, or he's got a gut disorder, or he's allergic to peanuts, or he's got autism, or he's got ADHD, or he's got diabetes, or she's got X, he's got X, she's got X, he's got ear pain, he can't go swimming, oh, he can't eat anything orange, or this guy, he can't look at anything blue. How many parents do you know, children that just have a myriad of problems? The typical child is now sick. What is going on? The new normal is for the child to have a problem. And I want to fix this. I don't want the normal for a kid to have a problem. When my kid was born premature. And when people come to me and they go, but so what's wrong? I mean, what kind of things do you have to do? And I go, no, we're not on any inhalers. We're not on any drugs whatsoever. Yeah, she was the sickest baby in the NICU. We won that award. It was fantastic. We also won longest baby in the NICU. She was on a respirator just to keep her alive, but now she runs in the yard without a problem. I want kids to not be sick as a normal issue. Ladies and gentlemen, follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. Follow Adele Amani. Twitter.com/Adele Amani. EdeleAmonY. And go to WBT.com and vote for me. Click on the hoo-wee button and say, love that Jack. As our video will be going up very soon, you can do it. I know you can. This is and was and always shall be the Jack Hatfield Show.